everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show. Together we welcome you to spring. The first day of spring. We've had spring here for weeks. Some might say several months, but no, not that far. It is Monday, March 20th, 2017. Hope you had a great weekend. Congratulations to the Wildcat basketball team moving on now to play Xavier. That should be an interesting matchup. That's coming up Thursday in San Jose. The Buckmaster Show live line open for you, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation and take part in our Monday political face-off featuring today our commentators John Munger. Mr. Munger, a well-known Tucson attorney, he's the former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, and he ran for a Republican candidate for governor in 2010. Jeff Rogers is here, also a very well-known attorney, former chair of the Democratic Party of Pima County. I want to say two terms. Right?
That's correct.
So 8 years.
And one term as vice chair of the state party.
Okay, so lots of experience with the Democratic Party. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. Moe, wow, he and his family, they do just a beautiful job in their custom frame mirrors. Certainly all the picture framing and hanging services that they provide, and they just do a beautiful job at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John, did you have a nice weekend?
Wonderful, welcome. Wonderful weekend.
Good. And Jeff, I know you saw a lot of basketball, but still found time to enjoy the beautiful weekend.
Well, when you're out riding your horse and it's already in the mid-90s in the middle of March, it's pretty darn hot. I mean, I didn't get up early enough to get an early start, and by the time I was saddled up and ready to go, it was pretty darn hot.
Let me just run one basketball thing by Jeff here, John, because he is such a knowledgeable basketball guy.
Yeah, sure.
Have you ever seen a more, being a Northwestern fan, Northwestern got robbed, in my opinion, by that call near the end of the game where the Gonzaga player sticks his hand through the net and above the rim and no call.
No call. And it was such an obvious call. And it just, it completely took the gas out of Northwestern. And then, of course, the coach got a technical for it. And, I'm from the Midwest, so I'm a big
Indiana,
Big Ten fan,
yeah.
You know, and all the Big Ten teams I root for. And, I thought, Northwestern was on the verge of, pulling that one off. Yeah. And that just let the air out of the balloon. It was really sad to see.
Certainly did. John, let's begin with you. The new numbers from Gallup showing now only 37% of the public finds that approves of the rating for President Trump. That shows some erosion from people who voted for the president.
Yeah, probably does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, goes back and forth.
Are you worried at all about it?
No.
No.
No, I'm not worried about it at all. I just want President Trump to do as he's doing and follow through with this program.
What do you think, Jeff? Those numbers, what do they reveal to you?
They're pretty dismal. I remember when when Barack Obama hit the very bottom in 2011 of his ratings, gave 39%. That was the worst he ever had as an approval rating. And I remember Trump coming out and mocking him, saying that the people didn't approve of the president in enormous numbers. So I guess that's now come back to haunt Mr. Trump as well. So I think what's starting to happen is he's starting to actually cut into the supporters that he has. People are starting to realize, a lot of the people, particularly low-income Americans in rural America and other places, are starting to realize that he's not going to be providing insurance for everyone. There was in the Congressional Budget Office report, they gave a hypothetical of a 64-year-old man who can't get Social Security yet, who now would get the Affordable Care Act insurance for $1,700 a year with the government subsidies, and that person under the new Trump Care, Ryan Care plan would pay $14,000 per year. So obviously they would go uninsured. And they gave a lot of other examples, particularly in the age of the 50 to 64-year-olds and the difficulty they would have in getting insurance under this plan. And I think what's occurred is that moderate Republicans, or Republicans who are going to be running for election in 2 years, year and a half, are starting to realize that this is a mess. pass. And then on the other hand, you've got very conservative Republicans who are saying that this act is actually too generous, not draconian enough. And so I think this thing's going to be dead on arrival at the Senate if it makes it through the House. It's going to need a lot of changes to it to make it palatable to the few moderate Republicans we have left, as well as those who are afraid of being at re-election chances.
Well, I think that the act is nowhere near finished, and it goes through two or three stages, as everyone knows. This is what they're talking about now is just the first stage. We really don't know how it's going to work yet. It's a little premature to be judging it. We should all judge it once it's done. But I think it's way, way premature. People are going to be able to get Medicaid that aren't on Medicaid now. They're going to be able to have tax credits. In addition, health savings plans. You're going to have competition drastically reducing the cost of Medicare or medical insurance. You're going to have, hopefully, they're going to put in the next, not this stage of the bill, but the next stage of the bill, competitive pricing, where products and services from the medical community actually have to be advertised so you know what you're buying, and that price competition will reduce the costs of care. We all know we go in, we don't have a clue whatever medical care or product we get, what it costs, we don't care. But once people can begin judging that and going to one pharmacy versus another based on costs, or one physician or hospital to another based on costs, that should reduce the price of care. We just don't know. It isn't anywhere near done. This is just the first of three or four stages.
So you think Jeff's being premature?
I think it's premature. I don't have any problem with people questioning the issues.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's way premature to say who's going to get what, because we just don't know at this point.
Well, the bill as written now is an absolute complete disaster. And I think you've already got up to six Republican senators, certainly four, but up to six, who said this is dead on arrival. We're not touching this with a 10-foot pole. So seeing how it looks now, that's why John is now right. He wasn't right when it first came out, that this was intended to be what it's intended to be. But they saw how bad it was and the publicity made for such horrendous criticism, even within the Republican Party, that it made it dead on arrival in the Senate. So hopefully, John's right, and there'll be some improvements. The next stop is the Rules Committee, where they actually can make some changes to the act itself, some substantive changes. But you got to realize, since they're trying to do it through the Reconciliation Act, the only things that they can do have to have budgetary consequences. They can't touch the actual framework of the original Affordable Care Act, because a lot of that will take 60 votes in the Senate. So we're going to end up with something that. You know, as proposed now, this bill would take us back to before the Affordable Care Act and make it much worse than it was before the Affordable Care Act. Some estimates are that 12 million people would lose their insurance immediately by 2018, and another 24 million could be by 2020 or within a few years.
We just don't know. All I can tell you is that we're just at the inceptive stages of this, and we don't have any idea how it's going to work out at this point. So it's way, way, way premature. We're in the legislative process, and it's like sausage making. It's ugly. And so once everybody gets their word in, and it will get passed. Remember that the Obamacare bill didn't get passed until a full year after President Obama had been in office. So and the Democrats have been working that through for a year. So it wouldn't surprise me if this takes more than a couple of months where President Trump has been president. They've only had 60 days or so. So they're going to have to work through it. But I'm comfortable that the competitive system, Obamacare is such an abject failure. And frankly, by this time next year, if we leave it where it is, it's going to be an absolute disaster. Prices have gone up here in Arizona, as you know, 115% for Obamacare policies. I mean, we just can't sustain that.
Was there anything good about Obamacare?
Well, there are a lot of good things about Obamacare. And one of the good things was that Obama brought everybody to the table. The Republicans refused to participate, but the pharmaceutical companies, the device makers, the insurance companies, the state governors, everybody was consulted. And there's so many moving parts. It's like President Trump finally figured out when he said, this is pretty complex. Well, it is pretty complex. And you know, you can't, it's like that Jenga game where if you start pulling out little pieces of it, the whole thing collapses.
Well,
and that's the problem that the Republicans want something that's simple. Well, it's not simple. Healthcare is very complicated.
Well,
I can give you a simple answer that would work for everybody: Medicare for all. Well, and people under 65 would have to pay a premium for it.
Of course, the Medicare system
just
is
fine.
Broke, you understand.
No, it's not broke, John. And that's a Republican myth that's been out there that keeps getting repeated time and time again. It's one of the most efficient providers of health insurance in the world.
I'll take the word of the people at the budgetary offices that it's broke. Here's the problem. We need to see how this turns out. Everybody wasn't brought to the table in the Obamacare bill. As you will recall, the Democrats didn't get one single Republican vote. They didn't consult the Republicans. They didn't care about the Republicans. And I will tell you, to the extent that the pharmaceutical companies and the health insurance companies signed on to it, of course they did, because they got all the bennies out of the deal. What we need is something that works for the people, not the pharmaceutical companies and the medical care health insurance companies. We need something that works for everybody. We'll see how it turns out, but Obamacare is going to bankrupt this country. The system doesn't work. It's collapsing. Most of the county, a third of the counties in the country only have one insurer. You can't have competitive pricing with one insurer. And I heard that there are several counties in Tennessee that have no insurers.
All right. On that note, we'll take a break right here. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers, John Munger. And when we come back, Rita, I know you're on hold. We'll hear from you on the live line at 790-2040. Be patient. We'll be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We have an entire section devoted to the Old West and its heritage. Contributors include Wyatt Earp historian Scott Dyke and hiking Apacheria's Jerry Egan. We also look back at Old West newspapers and feature a column, This Day in Old West History. It is Old West News from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster, coming up Tuesday at noon, an update from the state capitol on the progress, or lack of it, toward a new state budget. Also, the Fox Tucson Theater Arts Report. It's happening on Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off, brought to us by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Couple of calls on hold here. Jeff Rogers seated to my left, John Munger to my right, and Rita, you are up to the plate. Go ahead.
Thank you. Actually, according to the Constitution, all of this is unconstitutional. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say that the government should provide health care.
I agree with you, but we're past that issue, Rita, but I agree with you. I think the government is way beyond where it should be, but unfortunately, that was ruled on by the Supreme Court. I think the decision was wrong, but there you are.
Rita, you're right. It's not in the Constitution that they shall provide it, but there's nothing in the Constitution that prohibits the government from being involved in health care. And that was solved when that goes way back to when Medicare was created and was challenged by Republicans, and the Supreme Court ruled that it was absolutely constitutional. So there were many constitutional theorists in the 30s and even up into the early 1940s who suggested that the Commerce Clause did not allow the government to be involved in various kinds of activities and regulation of businesses, but the consensus now is that's absolutely constitutional.
Yeah.
But whether it's advisable or not, that's whether or not people approve of that, that's a different thing. That's really more of a democracy issue than it is a constitutional issue.
I want to add that, see, Jeff's take on this is different. The Commerce Clause, I don't think, applies to medical care, because medical care, as you recall, the insurance industry is state by state. It's not national.
Mm-hmm.
So each state provides for its own medical or health insurance. So I don't think the Commerce Clause is implicated here. And I disagree with Jeff respectfully that the federal government standard is, well, it's not prohibited in the federal constitution. Article 10 says, whatever powers we haven't specifically given to the states, haven't specifically given to the federal government, we, the states, keep. And that power, as Rita is well aware, to govern medical care is not in the Constitution, and therefore was retained by the states under Article 10. It isn't a question of what's not prohibited to the federal government. It's a question of what powers were specifically granted. But I do agree with Jeff. Those issues have long since been decided. I think decided incorrectly, but they have been decided.
And even going back to the primitive days when I was in law school, and even slightly more primitive when John was there, we learned that the 10th Amendment was pretty much dead letter law, and it was kind of an eventual process. But the 10th Amendment didn't carry a great deal of weight in constitutional scholarly authority until very recently. And I must admit that the Republicans have been somewhat in a mode to try to revive the dead 10th Amendment.
Well, and, I think. it's interesting. And Rita, you'll be interested in this, and you've probably observed this. The Republicans for years, as the federal government has gotten more and more enthralled with taking over our lives, and the Democrats were, of course, involved with the government, federal government, and the Republicans were constantly screaming for federalism and states' rights. Now that the Republicans control the federal government, the Democrats are screaming for federalism and state rights. And we, with this new Supreme Court that hopefully we'll be getting soon, we may see, everything goes in phases over the years. We may see a re-empowerment of the 10th Amendment over the next several decades. The law is, thankfully, very incremental. It works slowly. It should work slowly. But I think the concept of states' rights and therefore the 10th Amendment is gathering steam slowly. I may not see the power of the 10th Amendment reinstituted in my lifetime, but I think over a period of time it may well be. We'll just have to see.
All right, let's go back to the live line, 790-2040. Terry is with us. Hey, Terry.
Yeah, this is the Cro-Magnon. Terry here.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, old-fashioned at that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm doing all right, Bill. Now, Jeff and John, I want to say this, that you won't hear Republicans going down the aisle of Congress or the floor of the Senate and say, we need to pass it to know it's in it.
That's right.
So look, real quick.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you, Terry. You won't hear them going down the floor saying what?
You won't hear any intelligent person saying that we need to pass this law or bill before we know what's in it.
Like Nancy Pelosi did, is his
yeah,
point.
Yeah, well, that's why she's famous, and that's why, because she's a moneymaker. That's the only reason why she's there. Okay, number two, I agree, competition, the private sector. Just like when you get car insurance, you have oodles of people to deal with to get a car insurance, to get a car or something right. like that. And that's the private sector. You can't have, like John said, you can't have government intruding in your lives 99% of the time. And that's why Hillary lost. Not only that, but the unions didn't back her up because she threatened everybody in West Virginia, the union miners. And so union miners, believe it or not, are backwards. They're pretty up to date, and they got the message out to those three blue states that the Democrats lost, and they deserve to lose. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Jeff, do you want to respond to Terry?
Well, here's the thing. I think most people knew what was in the Obamacare bill when it passed.
I didn't.
I knew almost Pelosi. Everything that was in it. I followed it very closely, and most scholars and medical scholars knew exactly what was in that bill. But the fact is, Nancy Pelosi is as a strong leader of the Democratic Party. I support her. I like her. I've personally met her. I've had dinner with her, and I think the world of her. But when you go to talk about car insurance is a heavily regulated as well. The same way health insurance is regulated by the states. The problem with the competition across state lines, which is something mm-hmm. the Republicans have been pushing for a long time, is that you end up falling to the lowest common denominator, and you end up and have an industry that begins that flows to maybe one or a few states in order to achieve what that insurance company perceives as the best regulatory environment for it to be in. And so that's the problem with this insurance across state lines. Given the Republicans' control of Congress and the presidency, we may see that experiment come about.
I think the most important thing, I'm all in favor of competition across state lines, because you will end up with the lowest price and the best package. Not just the lowest price, but the best package. People don't always decide on price alone. They decide on the entire package. But to me, the single most important thing that needs to happen in this bill, and it hasn't happened yet, it's in a further stage down the road, and I pray that it happens, and that is that they require service providers and product providers in the medical industry to require them to advertise prices. Because
didn't we have a bill here in Arizona that was
we
supposed
need
to do that?
People need to be able to go online and say, okay, I need this drug. Where's the best place to get it? I need to know what it's going to cost for me to get an operation at this hospital or from this
You're
physician.
You're saying it should be very transparent.
It's got to be transparent pricing, and that's the thing I'm pressing. we can talk about health insurance all mm-hmm. we want. Mm-hmm. We've got to start talking about the price of health care, actual services and products. And that's the most important thing. And if we can get our arms around that, the price of medical care and services will go down, and the price of insurance will therefore go down.
Well, I'm not sure that will be true, but I'd like to think it would be. I mean, I'll give you an example. I got something called an EOB in the mail the other day.
EOB?
Explanation of benefits. And what it was it said, okay, here's this medical service you were provided. The provider's price was $1,000. Due to my insurance company's deal with them, you get it for $600, and your copay is $200.
Yeah.
Now, that's a rather perverse way of doing these things. And so it means if I came in off the street and said, I'm just paying cash, I got to pay $1,000 for it.
No, we're not saying that.
Right. And so I think John has an interesting idea here that what if these people said, okay, here's our price that we pay insurance companies and everybody, and if you come in off the street, you can get it for $650 also.
Okay.
And if that was on their website and everybody knew about
then
maybe it would create better competition.
Jeff Rogers, thank you very much. John Munger, thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, thank you. Fort Lowell and Dodge, thank you for sponsoring our Monday Political Face-Off. Moe'sGallery.com and on Facebook. We'll be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Capturing the spirit of New Orleans cuisine, Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you at Saz Creole Kitchen and Cocktails. Open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha. Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. Not a very good singer, am I? But you know what? Cockroaches aren't a pleasant subject. And we had them. And I called my friend Shelby Hawkins over at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. And guess what? No more cockroaches. Adios, cucaracha. Hasta mañana. No más.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now, with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with the businesses they trust. At BBB, we also want to honor their efforts for doing business the right way. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that our annual Torch Awards are happening on Friday, April 7th at 5:30 p.m. at Casino del Sol. It will be a fun, elegant evening of celebration, and we hope you will join us. Register today at tucson.bbb.org. Thanks for doing business the right way, Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this beautiful Monday afternoon. What a great weekend it was to do some gardening and go over to our friends at Green Things, 3384 East River Road. What a beautiful location. Jan and Jack have just expanded to 13 acres along the Rito River, done a beautiful job. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, check out greenthingsaz.com, their fine website about all the free gardening workshops that are up and coming. Well, one of the most iconic structures, certainly in downtown Tucson, is the old Pima County Courthouse, which was built in 1929. Well, some interesting new findings are being uncovered as the restoration work continues there on the old courthouse. Let's go now on the live line. Linda Mayro is Pima County's Office of Sustainability and Conservation Director joining us on the live line. Linda, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill, and how are you? Thank you for having me.
Well, doing very well, and thanks for coming on to tell us about what is involved, first of all. What's the overview of this restoration effort?
Well, this is the first time since 1929 that the entire building has been vacant. And so it's the very first opportunity to totally revamp the entire building, which really has not had the extensive rehabilitation that it needs. And so it involved the internal demolition of a virtual rabbit warren of, just drywall rooms and many, many modifications over the years. So the intent right now is to restore the exterior to the original design and color, and to restore the 1934 Dillinger courtroom, which is the only part of the interior of the courthouse that was actually left intact.
Really?
Yes, and it's a remarkable room. The substantive, woodwork and the detailing, and we have some 1934 photos of the Dillinger arraignment, and those same features are there.
And we're also finding out about some of the original color schemes, correct?
You're right. Basically tried to uncover something like an archaeological excavation, if you will, to find out what was the original color of the courthouse. And all we had were black and white historic photos. We had the construction documents. But what we found out was that the pink color was actually an adobe tan color that we are now painting the courthouse that became pinker over the years, because every time they repainted the courthouse, they brought a sample, but it had faded and weathered into a pink color rather than the adobe tan. So we're actually going back to that. We also found out that there was no white ever originally on the courthouse, that in fact the white paint was probably added during Tucson urban renewal, probably late 1960s, but it was to cover up some of the deteriorated cast stone detailing. So we are removing the white and restoring the cast stone where we can. And we also discovered that the ceiling, the baby blue, powder blue that you see, was originally a very deep periwinkle blue, if you will. It'll be a very beautiful courthouse when it's done.
So over the years, Linda, since 1929, there were all these different kinds of remodel jobs that went on. Is that kind of, it became like a mishmash?
Oh, yes. It was totally a mishmash. In 1954, there were additional courtrooms added. But over time, it has the treasurer, the recorder, justice courts, and it was, as staff were added, they just carved up these itty-bitty rooms everywhere. And so that was all removed. So if you walked in there today, you would just see the brick walls and the cast concrete walls, and then the Dillinger courtroom, like I said, that is the only original element.
So we're lucky that that is at least still around, the Dillinger courtroom.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yes, we are.
So
we're
what,
pleased to be able to restore it.
And we might give the listeners a heads up of why is the building right now even vacant that you're even able to do all of this?
Well, the like I said, the recorder, the treasurer moved, and the justice courts moved into the Pima County Services Center across the street. And so because they now have new facilities that much better serve their needs, it's time to repurpose and restore the old courthouse, which is probably the second most iconic building in all of Pima County.
Right, after San Javier.
Exactly.
So the future use of the building, and that is that still up for debate at this point?
Well, I think we're entertaining the idea, I should say the county administrator and the board are entertaining the idea of a regional visitor center.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you know, a way to celebrate our cultural, historical, and environmental assets, you know, bring people into a very visible place, and so that we can, you know, showcase what our region has to offer. We're thinking perhaps, we've had some discussions with the Western National Parks Association, Visit Tucson, U of A Mineral Museum, Arizona Historical Society, and others, frankly, who are interested in perhaps having part of the first floor and second floor as both office space and for the visitor center.
How's the cost? What is this costing, the budget on this?
Well, just like to say that the total is estimated at this point at about $18 million, and voters actually approved $4.5 million in bonds in 2004 for the rehabilitation of the old courthouse. Of course, that was before the economic crash, and we really weren't able to do much work at that time, and then the building was still occupied. So we have voter-approved bonds from 2004, and then the balance will be funded from the Facility Renewal Fund, which is basically Pima County's general fund allocation to, you know, maintain all its buildings.
So the timetable is what then, Linda?
Well, I think the exterior restoration will be completed by May of this year, and then the interior improvements probably about mid-2018.
You know, I like the idea of this regional visitor center, and it would be close to the freeway, and if it was properly signed, which I'm sure it would be, this would bring a lot of people into our area, in the downtown area especially. Wouldn't you agree?
I would absolutely agree. You know, tourism is one of our probably one of our biggest industries, and you know, this kind of facility can only help you know, expand the visitor experience, also be very helpful to residents who want to become knowledgeable about our region. And you know, we hope people will come and visit and then have the regional center serve as a kind of hub that people can then go out to these places, have these experiences in Tucson, Pima County, and frankly, all of the Santa Cruz Valley.
Is the county, the old Pima County Courthouse, a historic designation? Is what I want to say.
Yes, it is. It's listed in the National Register of Historic Places. It was listed in 1978.
Mm.
And it was, you know, one of the first properties I think that Pima County had listed, because it's such an important symbol of our community.
And under those, are there certain constraints that you have to work within because of that designation with this remodel?
Yes, we are working with what's called the Secretary of Interior Standards for Rehabilitation and Restoration. And the restoration means that we are trying to restore especially the exterior and any defining historical elements to what the architect and the owner intentions were. What was their design aesthetic or design intent? And so the exterior, we're painstakingly discovering new things as we go, and the intent, again, is to restore that. Now, the interior, yes, it was designed as a courthouse, and the only element we have left is the Dillinger courtroom. That, too, will be restored to its 1929, look and furnishings, and it'll be available for the public to visit, of course. But then adaptive use is another term for the use of historic buildings that may not be the same as its original use, but it is consistent with the building and furthers the life, frankly, of an historic building like the old courthouse.
Linda Mayro, thank you very much, Linda. Very good to talk with you.
Likewise. Thank you, Bill.
Linda Mayro, Pima County Office of Sustainability and Conservation Director, sharing with us what's going on with the restoration work of the iconic structure, one of probably, along with Sanavir, the iconic structure of Pima County, the old Pima County Courthouse. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
On a changing planet, the University of Arizona's Biosphere 2 has been diving deeper and looking closer while energizing, innovating, conserving, and advancing science on an unparalleled scale to better understand the natural systems around us and to inspire our future generations. For 10 years now, UA Biosphere 2 has explored our planet's future. Come, explore it yourself. Open daily, biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show as we push now toward 10 minutes to 1 on a beautiful Monday afternoon in Tucson. If you have not done your taxes, got some good news for you. There are more than 30 local charities that have joined forces to help promote awareness about a special tax credit through the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, and one of those local charities is the Ronald McDonald House Charities of Southern Arizona. The development director is with me in studio for Ronald McDonald Charities, Scott Matlick. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
This is really a great opportunity for people to give and help a local organization. How does it work, simply put?
Well, it is really a wonderful opportunity, and all the charities that are involved in the coalition have really worked hard on the education for some things that are new and some things that aren't so new. So for a long time, there has been this tax credit on the books in the state of Arizona where you can either reduce your liability to the state through your annual tax returns or increase your refund. Portion of that, there are several types. One of them is for qualified charitable organizations, of which we are one and all the members of the coalition are as well. And you can get a dollar for dollar return on that. It's not a deduction. It is a full credit on that. Most people are familiar with the school tax credit. There's a public school tax credit. There's a private school tax credit. There's a charitable tax credit that we're talking about. There's also a foster care tax credit and one for military service. And in fact, you can take all of those concurrently, all of those in the same year. You don't
really
have to choose.
I was going to ask you if you had to choose. You can do the whole across the board.
That's right. It turns out to be a few thousand dollars worth of returns that you can direct to the causes you care most about.
Wow. Well, let's talk about your particular cause and what you, an organization you have been happily involved with for the past 5 years. Tell me a little bit about, folks I'm sure have gone by the Ronald McDonald House on Speedway, but what is this all about?
Yeah, that's the thing we get all the time. We know the Ronald McDonald House. We love the Ronald McDonald House. What is it you do again?
Yeah, exactly.
And so we are set up to care for those families that need some to travel to Tucson for some extra medical care for their kiddos. And when I say kiddos, I mean anyone really from pre-birth, even moms with high-risk pregnancies, all the way through 22 years old. And it's not restricted to a specific illness or disease or injury. It's anyone who needs medical care and certainly extended medical care. So we've got a couple of different programs in Tucson, the most well-known of which is the Ronald McDonald House. We were on Speedway just near Tucson for decades. We've moved in the past to now we're up near the Cancer Center, north on Campbell and east on Allen. And we've been there for almost 10 years now. It's a beautiful facility, 28 bedrooms, so that when families are traveling from outside of the town, they're traveling from as close by as Sarita or Oracle, where they've got a long drive into the hospital, to as far away as you can possibly imagine. We've had families in from Europe and from Asia. And we are a home away from home for them. We are a place where they can get the comfortable private bedroom and a bathroom, food cooked by volunteers, and a lot of the TLC that they need when they're going through this tough time in life.
And how do they get involved, the families? How do they hook up with you folks?
You know, typically it's done through the hospitals. They've mm-hmm. got nurses, doctors, social workers, especially at mm-hmm. the hospitals, who we just love, and the care they give, especially at all of the Tucson hospitals and clinics, is just top-notch, and that's the reason why people travel to our city. But they'll usually find out about us through them. Recently, we've also implemented on our website a self-referral form, so they just have to come to our website, click Stay With Us, fill out the form, and then we get in touch to allow them to come and occupy one of those rooms that's waiting there for them.
How many rooms do you have?
So we've got 28 bedrooms. Mm. In the past, we've asked for a nominal fee of $15 a night to stay with us at the house. Mm-hmm. About a year ago, we took a look at what that was costing us. It costs us about $100 a night to house a family. Mm-hmm. And this was more of a donation forward for future families. But we decided that, you know, there's enough going on in their lives with an often unexpected and sometimes really life-threatening illness, that money is the last thing they need to worry about. And so for the past year, we've removed that fee. Families pay nothing to stay at the Ronald McDonald House. It's entirely community supported. And it's through the good graces of the Southern Arizona community that we're able to keep our doors open and give them a place free of charge.
How about the length of stay, Scott?
It's really varied. So we have a lot of families that'll stay with us one, two, or three nights. Say you're coming in from Yuma and you've got a
test kid who's really sick. A procedure or something.
That's right, checkups. And 7 hours in a car in one day might be a little too much for that
right,
kid.
Right.
And so they stay with us for one night. Or we've got a wonderful, wonderful couple of doctors in Tucson who do bone marrow transplants for mm-hmm. patients with leukemia. And so they might stay with us for 6 to 9 months or even more. There's no minimum. There's no maximum. It's all for what the family needs.
It's just amazing how our community is just such a giving place and that people come together. You say you've got volunteers that come in and they do three meals or what?
Yeah. That, you know,
they do a breakfast and lunch, dinner?
Absolutely. Yeah. So our community is just outstanding. We offer a program we call Chef for a Day, where you can come in and cook one meal a day. We offer lunch and dinner every day. Breakfast is always provided by the house for the families, because a lot of them are out by 7 a.m. already mm-hmm. to the hospitals. Mm-hmm. But we have over 600 meals cooked every year by churches and families and community groups and businesses, and they are just the most wonderful people to come in and grace our house, and we are very fortunate, and it's a great program. It's a lot of fun. It's a wonderful volunteer opportunity, and it fills up fast, so head to the website and check it out. All the schedule's up there for the year, and get your time booked before it fills up.
Now, this is an international endeavor, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. We've got Ronald McDonald House chapters on almost every continent. There are over 360 Ronald McDonald Houses all around the world, about half of which are in the United States. All the major children's hospitals in the world, or very nearly all, will have a Ronald McDonald House close by. And because we operate locally, because we're all our own charities within our regions, we're able to accommodate the needs for a specific community and adopt the programs that are most beneficial. So for instance, in Tucson, we've got the Ronald McDonald House, which we already spoke about. We also have the Ronald McDonald Family Room at Diamond Children's Medical Center, which is a day use facility for all families, not just those that are traveling from out of town. We also have a couple of caring carts that go around Banner and TMC to deliver snacks and information to all of those families. So it's really a wonderful setup.
And for the younger kids, I can imagine, you know, at least for the parents telling them, hey, we're going to be staying with Ronald McDonald. That's kind of cool.
It really is. And you know what? To put a smile on those kids' face,
we've
got a little one who is he's there today. He has, we've got his story on our website, but he's unfortunately got a condition which causes quite a few seizures in his life.
Aww.
I mean, dozens a day before he got treatment.
That's tough.
It is. But we've got great care here. He's been able to reduce those significantly. And now, instead of kicking and screaming to get into the car because he didn't want to go see the doctors like most of us, like I still do.
Yeah.
I still don't want to go see
You're
the
not
doctor.
Alone, believe me.
Now he gets to, you know, now his brother's asking, well, can I go too? So there's lots of fun stuff for them, great distractions, a little peace of mind for mom and dad too.
Well, certainly it is a very worthy cause. And now what is the next step for people who've been listening and would like to donate as part of the tax credit?
So the first step is to go to givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Okay.
And that's a website for the coalition that you mentioned before, over 30 mm-hmm. nonprofits in Southern Arizona, who will give you information about how to qualify for the tax credit. It's very simple. Simply make a donation to a charity that's on IRS's approved list, and most of the 501c3s here in Tucson are going to be on that list. We're listed. We're linked directly on there, or you can go to rmhctucson.org. It's like Ronald McDonald House Charities Tucson. and click the donate button. And then you just deal with your accountant or tax preparer. But any donation up to $400 for those who file single, or up to those, or up to $800 for those married couples right. filing jointly, will qualify. There's no right. extra form that you have to worry about.
Scott Matlick, you're a great spokesman for the Ronald McDonald House Charities. Thanks for coming on.
Well, I appreciate it. On behalf of all the charities out there who are benefiting from this great thing, thank you, Bill, and thank you for your support.
Thank you very much. This portion of our program presented by someone who has supported the Buckmaster Show now for almost since the beginning, 6 years, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They do a beautiful job with their tourism over there. Please visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find several dozen great recreation opportunities and very nice places to stay, the couple dozen places in the Silver City area. It's a great portion of the southwestern United States. Again, it's southwestnewmexico.org. Coming up this afternoon, more local talk. Mic Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. They put together their hour of programming, and a fine hour it is. Then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9 tomorrow morning, and Talking Culture, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, and it starts all over again in about 23 hours, right, Ray? All right. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.